Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is the 21st, last weekend, busy week next week, and at the same time, in a weird way, a very quiet week. It's like once we get there, there's time because there's nothing else to do but to visit with your family and your friends, and you're eating everywhere and you're enjoying their time, and time slows down because nothing else is open or available for us to do. So it's kind of a tricky but very nice quiet time. But today is Question Friday, and I have two questions that have like two questions in them. So I'm going to get started so we get done. But this one is from Susan, and she is, I think right now, in Germany. And she says, how do we get out of trying the same thing over and over again, which we know does not work for us? So that's the repetition. I am stuck right there. How do we start trying something new? Seems a silly question, but I'm so tired of repeating myself. I want the new. Try really hard. Had the new. Now lash back with old and then a crying emoji. And I, for those of you who don't know, I have met Susan a couple of times. She came to the summit twice. And on the last one, she stayed for quite a while. So I got to know Susan, and a very bright, beautiful girl. Just, you know, see so much. And Susan wanted a change of life, just for some background. And she's an attorney, and she didn't want to practice law the way she was practicing it, and wasn't sure what else she wanted to do. So in her mind, she wanted to start, like, all these things. And I remember then saying something new isn't going to fix you, but look at what you already know, something you're already good at, so you can transition yourself. Because it takes more time, things you're not that familiar with, whatever it is. It's like if you move to a new town, it takes you a year before you really feel like you own that town, like you live there. You know all the streets, you know all the businesses, you know all the restaurants, you know where you need to go to get things done, your house, whatever you needed to fix in your house, you have fixed by now, and you become part of your environment. Even a mother who delivers a baby, it takes her a year to feel like a mom, where they finally say, hey, I'm a mom. Wow, I've been doing it for a year now. I qualify. So it's just the patience and the time. I think underneath just starting something new and getting out of the repetition merry-go-round. And that is, what do you want? If you can answer what you want from something new, what do you want it to do for you? Because if you're doing it because you want it to bring you money, not an income. Now, I have to say the difference, because people, when they do things for money, they end up overlooking themselves in the equation because the money becomes why. So you don't know what you want from it. You don't know do for you. And a lot of people say it's not about the money, but if you don't have money, it has to be about the money in part. However, that being said, there's a lot of different things you can do for money that you don't care about. And that happens to a lot of people who might go and get a traditional job until they can do what they believe they want. And they save for it and they prepare for it because they understand what they want it to do for them and why you want to do it. Starting something new isn't a whim. It isn't like, well, I think I'll do this. Well, now I know what I want to do. Well, now I know what I want to do, because you have to be alert enough to hear yourself do that. The repeating is happening because the new is supposed to do the work for you. Even though you try hard, even though you're doing the work, you have to have a reason inside of you that's driving you to it. Susan, you are one of them who come and say, but I don't know what I want to do. And is it this? Is it that? And it's like when the child walks around in the room and says, are you my mom? Are you my mom? Are you my mom? Because the room is full of moms. When we know what we're looking for, we can at least ask the question. And then the kid will finally find their mom. The reason they'll stay with their mom and not anybody else, because no other mom can be their mom. There's no other passion. You cannot have somebody else's passion or somebody else's drive or somebody else. It's all about you tapping into what you want. I remember when I get stuck in those repetition cycles, and I've been in a few of them, especially, you know, I know it sounds weird, like when I got divorced and, you know, I started dating. It took me a while to start dating, but when I started dating and I'd go out on a date and I'd be like, wow, why did I say that? Where did that come from? Or, you know, I was like questioning myself, and then I'd say, okay, time, and I would try to control myself better. But I never stopped to think about who the person was I was with. I automatically liked them. They were automatically perfect and without issues. So I thought I can control myself more and be better and be stronger and be, you know, where I don't need anybody. But I found out that when you don't need anybody, you don't get anybody. So I started to ask, why do I want a date? Well, I feel like I should be with someone. Everybody's with someone. When I knew that I felt like I should be with someone, I started asking myself, what did I want that person to do for me? Those are the two questions. What do I want for it? And what will it do for me? And then I said, and what will they do for me that I'm not doing right now? Because I'm single with two kids, and my plate is actually already pretty full. And my job. And then I had a second job. And I'm working at the school. I didn't have 5 minutes to myself. I don't know what I was thinking. So by the time I would get there, I was exhausted. So when I said, what do I want for it? And I answered the question, I don't know. I pulled myself out and I didn't date for years, and I was happy, which is contrary to what you would think or why. But because I knew the answer to the question, what do I want for it? What do I expect it to do for me? I was at peace. The fact that I didn't even know what I wanted it, why I wanted it, was a big enough sign for me to take myself out of that loop and get off that merry-go-round that I wasn't even ready for or had the time to do. So if you're doing the same thing with startup, you have to ask yourself, because it would work if you really knew why you wanted it to work. Even if your answer is, I want something to be passionate about. Even if what you want it to do for you is you want it to create a new life for you. What am I passionate about? And what kind of new life? How different will it be from what I have now? What will that look like? Because an idea is great. We have a million ideas. How many ideas do you have all day? And some of them you think are so great, you write them down and you may never go back to it. Or you may think so many times, wow, we could do things this way. Wow, we can invent a product that does this. Wow, we could build it, you know, and we're going all over in our heads. And by the time we sleep at night, we forget them all. They were great ideas. If you probably told one of them to someone who was ready to hear it and ready to run on it, they can create a whole world out of your idea. If you have to choose something, can weave into your world today and grow it into a new world. It takes time. And along the way, you perfect it and you mold it and you massage it and you think, what am I doing this for this way? And you find another way. And you just keep growing and growing, because pure anything, pure love, pure truth, just your knowing why, you start to see not that there's one way, one street, but you see both ways. Then you start to see the branches grow, and then you start to see. It's the same thing with a mother when she has a baby. She doesn't know how to raise a baby, but darn it, she loves that baby. Because she loves that baby, she's going to find a way to do everything she needs to do as a mom. Because that's a stimulus, that physical person that you see, that you can care for. But when it's just what's in your mind, your question isn't silly at all. It was one of the most frequently asked questions when I first saw Christ. Who am I? And I think, isn't that silly, Christ? We don't even know who we are. We don't ask that as much anymore. Now we're saying, wow, where's my passion? But what we naturally grow towards, naturally, when you're alone and you're sitting there, instead of thinking about, gosh, what should I do? I have a million things in the world. What should I do? What should I be passionate about? Ask yourself, what would I do? And this is something I got from an entrepreneur, from Ken. What I do if I knew I couldn't fail? Because really what you're chasing is not failing. You want something to answer all your questions, to make you big and visible. Visible, not invisible. In your mind and in your heart. That you're making a mark, and you're putting so much pressure on what you want to do because you want to do something big. And if it isn't big right away, you go on to something else and think that something else is going to be big. And if that isn't big right away, you go on to something else. And now before you know it, you're jumping like a jumping bean from one thing to another. It's the everyday trials. On one thing. That's why people who are dating can get married when they date for a while. They've worked out all of those things because they were motivated, because they were there. And when we have passion, deep passion, we're married to that passion. And we have to find out, we have to discover the depth of our passion. We have to discover the strength of our passion. There's a lot that goes on when our passion is involved, because it forces us to run away every time we get to the hard part and then think, well, this can't be it because it's supposed to be magical. And it's supposed to be easy, and it's supposed to be whatever it is I need it to be so that I could be happy. That's not how passion works. understanding passion is something you can't learn until you're in it. And the only way to be in it is to fight for yourself from not running away when things get hard. Where you stay and you say, well, you know, now I don't like this about it. So it's not as innocent or new or fresh as I thought it would be. It doesn't necessarily have to be. It doesn't necessarily have to be. It just has to be something you learn and you do and you grow with. Because our passion isn't meant to do something for us. A way of us discovering ourselves. We learn to discover who we are. Because the passion that we have is just, it's working, it's on. There were days I wish I didn't have my passion because they were really hard days. And those days turned into really hard years. But I was able to endure them in myself, which gave me faith in my passion. The passion doesn't give you the faith in yourself. Your personal faith is what carries you through the hard parts, the trials, the errors. It's not that we're trying really hard and then we give up in 2 months or a month or 6 months or a year. It's the discovery. It's the depth. You know, there's a Latin saying, and I heard it from one of my friends who is from Costa Rica, and her dad's from Argentina, and she would tell me, you know, there's a saying that a new broom always sweeps well because you haven't used it yet. You just didn't use it yet. It's all about us discovering ourselves. It's all about us knowing who we are. It's all about our souls evolving through our own free will. It's about us getting to the parts that are hard because that's what we need to overcome so that we can appreciate our efforts, our work, our depth. There's no other way to get to our depth other than to do what we love enough to discover it. That's why when you meet people who've been together for a long time and you say, hey, wow, congratulations, and you make it look easy, and they look at each other and go, hey, we've been through our stuff, but we knew that we'd always be here during it. And it's a very beautiful thing to see. It gives us hope because they understand the depth, and we all want to know depth. We chase depth overnight. So I hope I answered your question. I hope I gave you insight, Susan. And I have another question, and this one is from... Let me see. I have to make sure these aren't anonymous. This one is from Eliana. So it says, hi, Nadia. Question for Friday. I know this is going to sound funny, but it's true. I've been having visions of gnomes. So true. Once they were with a couple of cats. One cat was hissing at a light, which I couldn't see. This morning, as I laid with my eyes closed, I saw two come down from my bed. Why am I seeing this? Love you, and thanks so much with the funny emojis. I really should ask, why do we have visions? Are they a variation of dreams? That's interesting. Visions are conscious. Dreams are unconscious. Okay, so they're different. Because when we have visions, we know we're having a vision. We're awake. We can see it, we will remember it, and we'll remember all of it. when you have dreams, sometimes you only remember parts of them because the whole design of a dream is to give you kind of a reflection of what kind you need to go towards. And dreams are obscure and crazy, but if you understand dreams, they actually aren't, right? But why do we have visions? Why are they gnomes? Well, it's funny because the gnomes, it helps you lighten up really serious. And we take these situations and we feel like, oh my gosh, I will never get over this. I can't believe this is happening in my life. I can't believe this is happening to me. I'm being punished. I'm being rewarded. I'm being happy. I'm being sad. But this is just saying, lighten up. Just lighten up. You're here. You're innately inside happy. Get back to that happiness. Silly life is. Look at how goofy life really is. And it starts to give it perspective. And then it makes the stuff that looks really hard something you can chew on, something you can face, something you can say, ha, I could do that. What was I worried about? That objectivity. It's just like with Susan wanting to know, well, why do I repeat? Sometimes what we play in our heads and our big deal is that we're overcoming it. But then once you overcome it, where do you go? Go to a contentness, to an objectivity that gives you this basis of thought that says, huh, it's only life. What are you worried about? Why are you letting this worry you? Why are you letting this hurt you? Why are you not allowing yourself to enjoy this? You know, you could. It's a choice. And it's just that we don't understand what enjoy it means all the way. Enjoy it just means that you're content. You're content with who you are in whatever situation you're in. There's times where, and I obviously till now, we catch ourselves. We think, you know what, I need to be here and I need to do this. And, you know, we're like so important and we're running around and I got all this stuff to do. But then I just check myself and I say, if I'm not enjoying this, why am I doing it? If this puts stress on me, is it a positive, healthy stress? Or is it giving me anxiety? And if it is giving me anxiety, why do I feel that? Questions, questions, questions. Go back to yourself. Ask yourself questions. Dukes, I don't want someone to get mad at me because that's what your gift will look like when you give it to them. Or do I really want to get them something that means something to us, me and that person? Or would I rather we spent that money and went out and had a dinner in 2 or 3 hours together as opposed to a physical gift? Maybe that time is what we need. We start thinking out of the box as to what a gift is. When I go to bed at night, will I be grateful for my day or will I be mad at myself for not doing the things I really wanted to do? Get away with not asking questions. And I see Francis wrote, Nadia, has Christ given you the theme for 2019? And he did. And it is progression. It's just progression. It's not changes. It's not that we're going to be more aware or less aware. We are aware enough times at this point in our history to progress. We have all the tools we were looking for. There's one other really important thing is why we have progression this year. In Origins of Truth, and I mean, it's amazing that this was written about now, I want to say like 16 3/4 years ago, because I saw him 17 years ago, but I did start writing prior, just a little bit prior, from this point, from December on, and the energy was starting to rove around me, because I just remember feeling like I was being followed, and I'd turn around in my hallway at home and go, what the heck? But there is something going on now, and that's why we can progress. And it will answer both Eliana and Susan in some way. And what happened is we are all right now back at the fork in the road. In Origins of Truth, we wrote about the opposite mind, language of love, that we will be speaking a language of love, and we will have opposite mind. Opposite mind is devoid of the emotion. We talk about narcissism a lot right now because all of a sudden we're just seeing it everywhere, because that is the opposite mind. It can cross boundaries that the emotional mind cannot. When Christ said the meek shall inherit the earth, he wasn't kidding. We mistook that as it's good to be meek. But think about that. Who wants to inherit the earth? None of us can stay here. So if we inherit the earth, what do we have? Nothing. It's a short-sightedness. It's blind. Blind are the meek. It's a blindness that they cannot see what they look like, and they believe in their hearts and minds and entire beings. It's an opposite mind. And it doesn't mean they're bad. I'm telling you now, there's a reason for all of this, but that opposite mind really thinks that they are the smartest person in the room, and no one can see that or see them. They perceive themselves as knowing everything they need to know. They're very predictable. They're ego-based. And then you have the emotional that would get hurt by someone like that because they can't understand how they cross those lines or those boundaries. And in January, I'm going to do an entire week of shows based on that and all the new research that has been done. And also even, are you baked for that? But right now, that progression that we are facing this year is because now we know what we know. We are very much aware, whether we're conscious of it or not, that there's an opposite mind and then there's an emotional world, and the world is splitting. When Christ said it's black or white, when I first saw Christ, he said everything's in a gray area right now. People are kind of in limbo, and now we are either this side or that side. We're either in a feeling mind or we're a non-feeling mind. We're an emotional mind or a non-emotional mind. And we can see it. We're like, how the heck could they say that? And yet it's given life and it's given all this credibility. And you're like, wait a minute. And you can't believe that no one can see it. Well, you can see it, just not talked about yet. So we will be in progression. We are progressing. We are almost like a huge bridge we're all walking across this coming year. So it's going to be very interesting and a lot of fun. So thank you for that question, Francis. Thank you for your question, Eliana and Susan. I will see you guys on Monday, which will be Christmas Eve, and I can't wait. Have a great and safe weekend. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.